Most of the others cannot stand Hoffman. Grumado got up slowly and went to the desk. Picking up the telephone, he asked the man who answered to find Dr. Reed. The Englishman opened the office door before Grumado could return to the conference table. God, he thought, they must all be sitting in the outer office. I wonder if Hoffman is there too. Reed seemed faintly amused by it all.
None of us can get along with Hoffman, he said, smiling slightly as he sat relaxed in a chair across the table from Grumado and his daughter. Frankly, I think bringing him along to Mars would be a disaster. Always have.
But he passed all the psychological tests.
Reed arched an eyebrow.
So would a properly motivated chimpanzee. But you wouldn't want to live in the same cage with him, would you?
You've all been filling out cross-evaluation reports for the past 2 years.
Grumado heard his own voice rising with more than a hint of anger in it. He forced it down.
I admit that the reports written about Professor Hoffman have not been glowing, but there has been no hint that he was so disliked.
I couldn't tell you about his evaluation reports, Reed said, almost smirking.
No one ever expressed their true feelings in the reports, not in writing. There is enormous psychological pressure to put a good face on everything. Every one of us realized straight from the outset that those reports would be a reflection on the person who wrote them as much as on the person they were writing about.
Grumado thought, we should have realized that from the beginning. These are very bright men and women, bright enough to see all the possibilities. Reed continued.
To borrow a phrase from Scotland Yard, we understood that anything we wrote in those evaluation forms might be taken down in evidence and used against us.
With a shake of his head, Grumado said,
I still can't understand why you waited until this very last moment to bring your opposition out into the open.
Two reasons, actually, said Reed. First, we all expected that Donato could keep Hoffman under control. Our good priest seemed to have a calming effect on the Austrian, rather like old Hindenburg had on Hitler.
Joanna barely suppressed a giggle.
Second, I suppose that none of us actually faced up to the awful possibility of spending nearly 2 years living cheek by jowl with Hoffman until this very weekend, with the final decisions made and Donato packing off to hospital. Well, I suppose it suddenly dawned on us that Hoffman simply wouldn't do.
How do I tell this to Professor Hoffman? Grumado asked softly.
Oh, I'd be willing to tackle that chore, Reed said at once. I'd be almost happy to do it.
Grumado shook his head sadly.
No, it is not your responsibility.
He dismissed Reed and asked Dr. Lee to come back into the office. With Joanna still sitting beside him, Grumado said wearily,
I suppose there is no way around it. Professor Hoffman will have to be told.
Lee seemed to have calmed down considerably. His mask of impassivity was in place once more.
It is my duty to inform him, Lee said. If you like, I will explain it to him, said Grumado.
With a quick glance at Joanna, Lee murmured,
As you wish.
Hoffman looked as tense as a stalking leopard when he entered the office. He stood a moment at the door, eyeing Lee, Grumado, and Joanna with unconcealed suspicion. Short, round-shouldered, his round pie face pale with tension. He was wearing a powder-blue cardigan sweater buttoned neatly over a shirt and tie striped yellow and red. His slacks were dark blue, almost black.
Please, called Grumado from the conference table. Come in and sit down.
Lee was standing at the end of the table, as far from the door as possible. Joanna still sat next to her father, turned toward Hoffman so that Grumado could not see her face. As if stepping through a minefield, Hoffman walked across the carpeted floor and pulled out the chair at the head of the table. He sat down.
We have run into a difficulty, said Grumado, trying to smile disarmingly and not quite making it.
Say, are all against me. I know that.
Grumado felt his eyebrows rise.
We must think of the good of the mission. That is our paramount duty. Hoffman's face twisted.
I was chosen by the selection board. I demand that their choice be upheld.
If we uphold that decision, the mission will be wrecked. More than half your fellow scientists have refused to go, I am sorry to say.
More than half?
Grumado nodded.
This is an affront to the entire nation of Austria.
No, said Dr. Lee from the other end of the table. It is entirely a personal matter. There are no politics involved here. It is all personalities.
Yes, I see.
Hoffman jabbed a finger toward Joanna.
She wants that American Indian by her side, so I am to be thrown off.
Brumado felt his jaw drop open.
What are you saying?
Joanna demanded.
I know very well how you and the Apache or Navajo or whatever he is, the two of you at the McMurdo.
Nothing happened between us, Joanna said, turning to her father.
He's lying. There was nothing.
Brumado raised his hand, and she fell silent. To Hoffman, he said, I can see that there are stresses here and strained relationships that could cause a disaster for the mission to Mars.
Hoffman glared, his face reddening.
I know it is an enormous sacrifice, but I must ask you to resign from the mission, Brumado said.
Never,
Hoffman snapped.
And if you try to force me out, I will tell the world's media that you have thrown me out in favor of your daughter's lover.
Joanna looked stunned, stricken, speechless. One of Alberto Brumado's traits was that the angrier he became, the more icy calm. Anger that would drive another man to tantrums or violence merely made him colder, keener, more deliberate.
Professor Hoffman, he said, clasping his hands prayerfully on the tabletop, if you ask me to choose between your claim and my daughter's denial, do you think for an instant that I would believe you?
They were lovers. I am certain of it.
You have proven, merely in these few minutes, that it would be disastrous to include you on the Mars team.
I will appeal to the Board of Selection, and to the media.
As patiently as a physician detailing the risks of surgery, Brumado said, the Board of Selection cannot and will not override the wishes of the exploration team. And if you go to the media, we will be forced to reveal that most of the scientists on the team dislike you so much that they have refused to go on the mission if you are included.
Hoffman's nostrils flared, his eyes glittered with rage. Whatever happens, what do you think the effect on your reputation will be? How will your university react to such notoriety? Do you know what it's like to have the media hounding you night and day? The Austrian looked away from Brumado, glanced at Lee, then turned his gaze toward the ceiling. I urge you, Brumado said, reasonably, placatingly, remorselessly, to tender your resignation. For the good of your career, for the sake of your wife, for the sake of this mission, please, please, do not allow pride or anger to ruin the human race's first attempt to explore the planet Mars. I beg of you.
Lee said,
we can see to it that your university gets first priority in analyzing the soil samples and rocks returned from the mission. Or, if you wish, Brumado added, we can help you to get an appointment at the university of your choice, and you can analyze the samples there.
You are offering me a bribe, Hoffman growled.
Yes, said Brumado. Quite frankly, I would offer anything I could to save this mission.
It is in your hands, Lee said in a near whisper. Brumado saw that the shock on his daughter's face had been replaced by something deeper than anger. Hatred, he realized. He put a calming hand on her shoulder and felt the tension that coiled within her.
Hoffman muttered, my wife never wanted me to go to Mars.
You can have a very prestigious position, Dr. Lee coaxed, leader of the scientific analysis of the Mars samples.
No announcements have been made about the final team choices, Brumado reminded him. There would be no embarrassment for you.
Suddenly, tears sprang from Hoffman's eyes.
What can I do? You are all against me. Even my wife.
His head drooped to the tabletop, cradled in his arms, and he began to sob uncontrollably. Brumado turned toward Lee, feeling like a torturer, a murderer.
I will take care of him, Lee said softly. Please go now, both of you, and send in Dr. Reed if he is still outside. Otherwise, ask the secretary to summon a physician.
Brumado pushed his chair back and slowly rose to his feet. His daughter still showed nothing but contempt for the sobbing man huddled at the head of the table. The mission is saved, Brumado found himself thinking. That is the important thing. The mission will go on, despite this poor, wretched man.